Well, apparently the message for this past weekend did not record, so I am re-recording the message to an empty room, so therefore no one will laugh at my jokes. Well, our scripture reading for today comes from both the Old Testament book of Micah and from the Gospel of Matthew. First, this very short and simple verse from Micah chapter 6, verse 8. The Lord has told us what is good. What he requires of us is this: to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. And then from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 23, verses 1 through 12, we read this. Then Jesus spoke to the crowds and to the disciples. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees are authorized interpreters of Moses' law. So you must obey and follow everything they tell you to do. Do not, however, imitate their actions, because they don't practice what they preach. They tie unto people's backs loads that are heavy and hard to carry, yet they aren't willing even to lift a finger to help them carry those loads. They do everything so that people will see them. Look at the straps with scripture verses on them, which they wear on their foreheads and arms, and notice how large they are. Notice also how long are the tassels on their cloaks. They love the best places at feasts and the reserved seats in the synagogues. They love to be greeted with respect in the marketplace and to have people call them teacher. You must not be called teacher, because you are equal and have only one teacher. And you must not call anyone here on earth father, because you have only the one Father in heaven. Nor should you be called leader, because your one and only leader is the Messiah. The greatest one among you must be your servant. Whoever makes himself great will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be made great. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would speak to each one of us today through this, your word, and through the whispers and the presence of your Holy Spirit. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen. The other day, Kathleen was asking me what the message was going to be about this weekend, and I told her basically it's about humility. She then said, "So Cindy will be preaching this weekend, right?" Ouch. Well, with this being Super Bowl weekend, I thought it might be a good idea to talk about greatness. Not necessarily about who or what we think is great, but how Jesus defined greatness. Now, if we are just talking about who's the greatest without getting all religious, the answer is pretty obvious. It's Tom Brady, the GOAT, the greatest of all time. He's a Michigan man, by the way, just in case you didn't already know that. I like pointing that out. Thus, you can see why my wife was wondering about my ability to speak on the subject of humility. And I'll admit it, sometimes I can let my pride get the best of me. I like to trash talk a little. I grew up trash-talking on the basketball court and on the playgrounds and in high school. It was just a part of who we were. Our high school motto was Home of the State Champions, because we had won more Class A championships than any other high school in the state. We were champions in football and basketball and hockey and track and even in things like band and orchestra and debate. The expectation was always to win. With 4,200 students, we had a lot of talent in just about everything you can think of, and we were a pretty cocky bunch. And if we were up by 30 points or so with less than a minute to play, the coach would call my name, put me in the game, and I would walk out on the court and make some pastoral comments to whoever was assigned to guard me. It was just a part of our culture. Some of my favorite trash talkers in sports include Larry Bird, who said, "I'm just looking around to see who's going to finish second." Or Terrell Owens, who once said, "Get your popcorn ready because I'm going to put on a show." Then there's what Scottie Pippen once said to Karl Malone, "Just remember, the mailman doesn't deliver on Sundays, Carl." Carl's nickname was the mailman, and of course they were playing on Sunday. And probably the most famous quote of all from another goat, Muhammad Ali, who said, "I float like a butterfly and sting like a bee. His hands can't hit me if his hands can't see." So on this Super Bowl Sunday, there'll probably be a lot of trash talking about who's the best, who's the greatest of all time. But Jesus challenged us to think differently. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus challenged both the crowds he was speaking to and his disciples to think differently about what greatness looks like. Jesus had something to say about our need to get ahead and to compete and to fight for first place in line. He didn't say that the desire to excel and achieve was wrong, but he did turn the tables on some common understandings of success. He redefined greatness, at least as far as our life in relationship with God and with others is concerned. The desire to be great is not confined to the world of sports. It's a part of our culture, and it saturates our culture everywhere. We compete in school. We compete in our jobs. We sometimes find ourselves competing with our neighbors, you know, the Joneses. Even in families, there's sometimes competition, competing for first place in the attention of parents. Sibling rivalry can sometimes be pretty intense. Even churches can be competitive places, and even churches find themselves in competing with other churches. Who has the biggest building? Who has the largest attendance? Who has the biggest budget? Who has the most influential people in town? But Jesus says, "Not so fast, my friend." Even the first disciples were competitive and must have felt at least a twinge of envy when they observed some of the Pharisees. Everybody recognized the Pharisees. They carried these small leather pouches containing bits of parchment inscribed with scripture. They were always bigger than necessary, and their clothing was distinctive because they loved to put on a show. They loved recognition, seats at the head table, center front pews in church, being called doctor and deacon and reverend. They were extremely pious. They prayed long and wordy prayers before every meal. They carried their scriptural scrolls with conspicuous pride. They expected and received public credit for every donation. They lived for the applause of their admirers. Yet few people would have denied that the Pharisees were great. And they were all men, of course, not a female among them. But Jesus wasn't so impressed. It seemed to Jesus that though the Pharisees talked a good game, they were lousy players on the field. Still, Jesus could see the envy in his disciples' eyes. They say everybody enjoys a little of the spotlight, and Jesus' disciples were no exception. Sensing the opportunity for a teaching moment, Jesus sat down and called his followers to his side and began by saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat." That really caught their attention. That was precisely what they wanted to hear, to be the greatest, to be the big cheese, the top gun, to have the recognition and praise that goes along with authority and power. So they must have been thinking, "Keep talking, Jesus. Finish what you started to say. We're all ears." "The scribes and the Pharisees sit on Moses' seat," Jesus said. But then he continued, "But they do all their deeds so as to be seen by men. You are not to be called rabbi, neither to be called masters. He who is the greatest among you shall be your servant." "Well, wait a minute, Jesus. That's not what we expected. We're kind of confused. What kind of lesson in achievement is that? We're talking success here, not service. We thought you were going to tell us about power and popularity, not peasanthood. How quickly the disciples had forgotten what Jesus had been teaching them. Not too many days before, they had come to Jesus asking, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus had placed a child in their midst. The child, he had said, was to be their model. First century society looked down on children. They were among the most vulnerable of all. Children had no rights, no respect, no recognition, and to call them great in any sense was crazy talk. How quickly the disciples had forgotten what Jesus had been teaching them. "Whoever is the greatest among you shall be your servant." That was a difficult challenge for the disciples. And it is still a difficult challenge for his modern day disciples, meaning us. And I admit it. This is difficult to live out in our competitive culture. And I often struggle with this teaching. How do I take pride in my work and strive to do my best, but at the same time not get all puffed up and proud of my accomplishments and start trash talking? It starts with the realization that there is only one who is great, and that is God. That exercise is really a part of worship. Worship is about focusing on God, which requires us to take our eyes off of ourselves and to bow before our Maker, the one and only greatest of all times. Now, I know this can be controversial, that when a player on the field makes a great play, scores a touchdown, or hits a three-pointer at the buzzer, and then that player points upward, they point to God. But you know, I think they've got it right. Give God the credit because it is God who's given you your life and your breath and your abilities, all the abilities you have, including scoring touchdowns and three-pointers. And every now and then, when or if I deliver a home run sermon, I don't think it'd be appropriate for me to run down the aisle of the church and have people give me high fives and spike my Bible when I reach the back of the church and do a little dance in the narthex. That might seem just a little inappropriate. So in my heart, I kind of have to point towards heaven and admit that the credit belongs to God, that I'm just thankful that God has used me as a vessel for his purpose. So what does humility look like for us as followers of Jesus? Does it mean we don't compete, that we don't try to do our very best, that we walk around with our heads bent down and don't take pride in what we do? I don't think so. Now, I know I've mentioned this before, but one of the role models for me for living a life as a follower of Jesus was a man by the name of Dr. Robert H. Reardon. He served as president for 25 years of Anderson University, where I did my undergraduate work. Dr. Bob, as students called him, was a graduate of Oberlin College in Ohio and Vanderbilt University, so very well-regarded institutions. Yet he was probably the most unpretentious person I've ever met. He'd ride around campus on his motorcycle, and he'd stop and take time to talk with students, and he would often stop by the cafeteria at lunchtime and sit down at a table with a group of students. But I'll never forget one incident in that cafeteria that was a real teaching moment for me. One of the lowest student jobs on campus was working in the cafeteria. You had to wear hairnets like we do down at the Samaritan Center, and you bus tables and you wear these white jackets that were always dirty. And anytime one of these cafeteria workers would accidentally drop a dish or a plate or glass on the floor, students would oftentimes stand up and applaud and cheer, kind of making fun of the service or the server. It wasn't very nice, and I hate to admit I was one of those. Well, during one particular lunchtime, Dr. Bob sat down at the table that I was at with several guys from my floor, and he began asking us about how our classes were going, and then there was this loud crash. Cafeteria worker had dropped a whole tray of dishes. And per our custom, We all stood and cheered, making fun of this freshman student wearing a white coat and hairnet, and we surely embarrassed him. Well, at that moment, Dr. Bob lowered his reading glasses and gave us one of his patented Dr. Bob glares, looks of disgust. But what he did next was a lesson in humility that I will never forget. Without saying a word, Dr. Bob stood up, walked over to the server, who was frantically scraping up the mess on the floor. And then he got down on his knees in his three-piece suit, and he began to collect the broken glass and dishes and scraps of food and put them back on the tray. The clapping stopped. The dining hall fell silent as a morgue. And for a few seconds, we watched in disbelief as this man we all admired got on his knees and taught us all a lesson in humility. If anyone desires to be great, if anyone desires to be a somebody, if anybody desires to succeed and earn recognition, then look over there at the university president cleaning food from the cafeteria floor. Jesus said, "You must be willing to serve even the lowest, the least you can imagine. You must become as vulnerable as a child, because in God's kingdom, the measure of greatness is not found in human success, but in service and in the humility of considering others before considering yourself." Matthew doesn't give us a clue as to whether the disciples said a word. Maybe they were too embarrassed to speak. Sometimes experiencing profound truth has a way of making us silent. According to Jesus, being number one comes when you learn to embrace the lowest of the low and identify with their weakness and with their vulnerabilities. You're the greatest when you can see the pain and trouble in another's face and risk doing something about it. Your success when you can stick up for someone who is being treated unjustly. According to Jesus, greatness is not being first, but a willingness to put yourself last for the sake of another. We often use this line here around the church. I love it. It says, "Leaders eat last." Think about that. Leaders eat last. Vince Lombardi once said, "Winning isn't the only thing, it's everything." And on Super Bowl weekend, it's easy to think like that. But we don't follow Vince Lombardi. We've chosen to follow Jesus. The Old Testament prophet Micah sums it up pretty well when it comes to what God expects of us. It's to do what is just, to show constant love, and to live in humble fellowship with our God. Jesus said in Matthew 25:40, "I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these, my brothers and my sisters, you have done for me." So who's the greatest? God. What does it mean to be great in the eyes of God? In learning to be a servant of all. Let's pray. Lord, keep us working hard to be the best we can be, but keep us and help us to keep our egos in check and to live out the kind of life that points people to you. We pray this in the name of Christ. Amen.